So, any of you who have ever been on an exercise program knows that you're told when you're doing an exercise program that sometimes you have to play through or work through the pain, right? Anybody ever doing rehab? That's really important, because if you're going to get to the other side of that thing, you're going to heal that place that's injured. You have to go through your rehab and you have to play through the pain. I had a personal trainer once, and he told me that. He said, "Man, you got to start. You got to do. You got to play through the pain." And I said, "You're fired," because I didn't want to do that. But you have to, don't you? And professional athletes know this. Professional athletes play with serious injuries sometimes. They play through the injury. They play through the pain. They know that the only way to victory is to do that. Playing through the pain is really, I think, what's part of what's going on in this message today that tells us about that day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. Let's pray together real quick. Hello. Father, we're here to be your people, to feel your presence, to understand, Lord, what you mean to tell us by your word and even just by our gathering together. Because we know, God, that all these things are done by your will. So we praise you for this gathering. We praise you for this moment in time. We ask that you guide us through this hour of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So yeah, Jesus, in this passage, he's arriving at Jerusalem on the first day of the Passover, right? Everybody clear on that? It's the first day of the Passover in the week that will become his Passion Week. There on that first Sunday of Passover. And he's up on the Mount of Olives, and he's on the road looking down towards Jerusalem. And any person, any Jew or Jesus, anybody who was looking at Jerusalem, was always seeing, when they looked at it, more than just a city. They're seeing more than a city. They're seeing, really, the embodiment of the Jewish people. That's how special that place was for them. Jerusalem embodied all of their defeats, all of their victories. Embodied that moment when they were completely defeated and taken away to Babylon into slavery, and then returned to begin to rebuild that place, brick by brick, to begin to rebuild the walls, and then finally build and rebuild their temple, where they believed the presence of God actually resided. So when Jesus looks out over Jerusalem, he's looking at the embodiment of the Jewish people and their nation. He's up there on that mountain. And as you know, he has sent his disciples down to Bethany to find a colt, to find a mule for him to ride into Jerusalem. Now, as we go through this, it's important to understand that on this day, on that day, as they look down over Jerusalem, as they're ready to enter, everything they do has a meaning. Everything that is done is kind of thought through. For instance, when Jesus asks his guys to go down and find him a mule, it's not just a ride, it's a sign. When King David came into Jerusalem, after being anointed king, he rode a mule. This is part of their history. It's part of their lore. They knew these things. So Jesus said, yeah, before I go into Jerusalem today, I want you to find me a mule. I'm going to enter as a king. So they go get him the mule. Meanwhile, all of those people down in Jerusalem who have come for the Passover celebration, for the week-long Passover celebration, those who know of Jesus, they know Jesus, they've heard what he has done, they come running out to meet him. They're going to go across that valley and up into that Mount of Olives, and they're going to celebrate his coming into Jerusalem. Now again, when we celebrate, when they celebrated, when we celebrate, two things are always going on, right? We have a birthday, we have a graduation, we have a wedding. It's a celebration. It does two things. It recalls everything that has come to that moment. It recalls the life of that person whose birthday you're celebrating right up to that moment. The celebration recalls all the hard work that went into the graduation, the romance that went into the marriage. But the celebration, as it recalls the past, it orients people to the future. A whole new future and a whole better life that they believe is coming. A celebration like that marks that kind of pivot. And that's what these guys are doing. They're coming up to greet Jesus. And as they come up, they begin to shout, Hosanna, which means save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as they shout these things, they're recalling all of the things, Luke says. They're recalling all of the things that they had seen Jesus do. When they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, it's as if they're also thinking, they're also saying, blessed is he who healed the blind. Blessed is he who made the lame walk. Blessed is he who cleansed the lepers and forgave sins. Blessed is he. Blessed is he who just raised his friend Lazarus from the tomb. People knew about that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed is he, they believe, many of them believe, blessed is he who is coming as the Messiah, who is going to change the trajectory of Jerusalem and all the people. Change things. It's a pivot point where a whole new life is coming, a much better life than they've ever had before, because Jesus was going to come into town as their king. You say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And even those words, it's not just a slogan, it's a sign. They reach back for those words to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 was a commemoration of a day when a king in the past had defeated the nations who were besieging Jerusalem. He had defeated them. In the psalm, it says, you know, he was surrounded. They were swarming around him like bees. He was about ready to fall. But then he cried out, and God was his salvation. God made him victorious. And in that psalm, it commemorates the day when all of these worshipers came into Jerusalem behind their king, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So these people who are meeting Jesus, they're reaching back into their past. And they're lifting up these words that everybody knew exactly what they meant. This Jesus is the change. This Jesus is our King. This Jesus is going to make everything new again. So they take their cloaks and they put them over the mule and they get Jesus up on the mule. And then in another sign, they lay down their cloaks on the road as they did for royalty so they could come in on a kind of red carpet on a royal road of coats. They invite Jesus to lead them now into Jerusalem. And as he does, the Pharisees, you remember them, the ones who really are opposed to Jesus. They really don't like that Jesus has all of this disturbance around him all the time. They really don't like that Jesus has this great following of people around him, and that he's getting them all worked up and all excited. And they really don't like that they are saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It's not just because they're loud, it's the content. Because they know that they're hailing him as a king. And they say, Jesus, stop your people from saying that. Stop them. And Jesus says, man, if I stopped up their mouths, their enthusiasm, their joy, their rejoicing would kind of like bleed out into the rocks and they would start shouting. There's nothing you can do to stop this train, this moment. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But here's the thing that just kills me. This is what really stood out to me as I read this again. All this rejoicing is going on. All this rejoicing. All this now life is going to be better. But Jesus with weeping. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, the embodiment of his people, God's people. He saw the city and he wept over it. If even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, only you knew. But now it is hidden from your eyes. It's hidden from your eyes. Jesus knows that as the rejoicing is going on, he rides into Jerusalem. He's riding into rejection. He knows that the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, have time and time and time again rejected God's love, rejected his will. And time again, they prove that their hearts are too hard to open themselves up to what God had for them. They could not recognize the time of God's coming. They killed the prophets before Jesus, and Jesus knows that they're going to reject him and kill him now. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem, with all that rejoicing, he knows that he is headed for pain that he will have to play through. And he weeps, weeps, weeps over the missed opportunities of his people. Anybody ever weep over a missed opportunity? Yeah. Maybe with that boyfriend, that girlfriend that kind of got away. Wonder about that. The decision you made that put you out of contention for the job, that maybe that would have done it. We weep sometimes over missed opportunities. And you know, when we dwell on those, when those things get really seated in us, they have a tendency to kind of hold us down, to kind of repeat in our lives. Jesus is crying, he's weeping over missed opportunities of people recognizing that God has been and God is among them. And I'm going to ask you today, don't you just think that Jesus is still weeping over our world today? That maybe Jesus weeps just a little bit for a world that doesn't recognize 100% that he is among us, that his love is with us, and he wants the best for us. I'm telling you, I mean, I believe that Jesus weeps. I weep. Don't you? Sometimes you look out, what's going on? Don't you weep? Huh. I saw the World Trade Tower, the brand new World Trade Tower, lit up in pink. Anybody hear about this? Lit up in pink because the state legislature in New York had passed a bill allowing the termination of a pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're celebrating this. Makes me weep. Makes me weep for the missed opportunity of a life that could grace this world. It makes me weep for just one more person to stand up for life. Makes me weep. What makes you weep? Makes me weep. Makes me weep that there aren't enough fathers who stand up and take care of their children, right? And take care of their wives. Makes me weep that 40% of the children born are born out of wedlock. That children don't have fathers. And that fathers don't know the joy of that responsibility. That makes me weep. makes me weep, that young people call themselves more often than not nuns, N-O-N-E-S. No religion. There are more people that call themselves nuns, N-O-N-E-S, no religion, than there are who call themselves evangelicals or call themselves Catholic. It makes me weep for the missed opportunities. It makes me weep when they say that they would never enter a church if they were in trouble or that they needed an understanding ear. It makes me weep at all the people that we miss for Jesus. I believe that Jesus weeps still today for a world that continues to reject Him, that continues to not recognize that God is in our midst. And you know what? Let's just be honest. Can we just be personal for a second? We don't have to look outside the world to see the places where we reject Jesus, even in our own hearts, right? Or places where Jesus, we just, you know, He gets a little bit in our business and we don't want that, you know, where Jesus is going to start telling us maybe what we, you know, making us a little uncomfortable. Maybe He's going to get in the way of some friendships that we have or some TV we like to watch or, you know, the way we raise our kids. Sometimes we don't want Jesus in our business, so we reject Him. But here, I don't know about you, and I cop to this, okay? I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. But I will say this. I don't want Jesus weeping for anything in my heart. He's got enough to weep about. I don't want Him weeping about my heart. And I know you all feel the same way. You probably wouldn't be here today. Right? We want to make Jesus the King in our lives. And that's what those people wanted as they rejoiced, as they followed Jesus into Jerusalem. But Jesus knew that the only way that things were really going to change, the only way that the world was really going to change, that the trajectory of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and all people, the only way it was really going to change was for Him to go down, to go through the rejoicing, and go down and play through the pain of the rejection, right? He had to do that, and He knew He had to do that in order so that we could know, and the world could know, and the Jewish nation could know, and everybody could know that on the other side of that rejection would be redemption and resurrection. Amen? The only way that people could know that, yes, even though we feel sometimes we have missed opportunities, even though we feel sometimes that it's hard to be a Christian, even though we feel sometimes that people are looking at us sidelong and maybe don't like us so well, or we're going to lose some friends, or our kids are going to get like, oh, come on, do we have to go to church and all that stuff, that the only way we can get through all of that is to ride with Jesus, sometimes through that rejection, and through that doubt, and through that darkness, and through that pain, so that we can have the redemption and the resurrection that is promised on the other side. Amen? Am I right? Isn't that why we do this? Hello? Yeah. Thank you. Yes. That's why we do this. And that's why Jesus did this for you. So next week's Easter, right? 40 days of Lent. We've been going on 40 days of Lent. Talking about how it would be, you know, if our lives really, really shined with the glory of God. Yeah. What would that be like? How can we get there? We know it maybe means, you know, putting some things behind us, some attitudes, some habits, some beliefs even, that we need to throw behind us and bury in a grave and walk off to follow Jesus. We've talked about how we need to be more reconciling with each other and more loving of one another, so we look a little bit more like Jesus. We make His way of love our way of life. How we need to be a little more surrendering, tenderly surrendering to the will of God. We've talked about how it is that we need to unfollow some things so we can follow Jesus. And friends, we need to know that we need to follow Jesus, ride with Him through the rejoicing. It's great to rejoice. Let's rejoice in Jesus and all that He has done, all that He has done in your life. But let's never forget we need to ride through and play through the pain to come to the victory. Am I right about that? Yeah, because we know this, right? We know this stuff. We need to do that. And on Easter, we're going to celebrate coming through to the other side. Just one more thing. Jesus rode into Jerusalem and He knows that, it's over for Jerusalem. Can I read you this? He knows that Jerusalem, the way that they see it and the way it is meant to the Jewish people and all of that, it's an over thing. The days will come upon you when the enemies will build an embankment against you on every side. This is Jesus weeping. They're going to build, and this happens in 70 AD, right? They build an embankment to lay siege to Jerusalem. They're going to encircle you on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming. And this guy's weeping, man. This is Jesus weeping right now. He's weeping not with anger. He's not weeping. He's weeping with compassion. With compassion. For all those who would come in the future. Even us. When Jesus met with the Samaritan woman at the well, remember He was like, yeah, we think that you're really awesome, but we really want to know, should we be worshiping over here on Mount Gerizim? Or you guys say we should be worshiping in Jerusalem. What's the deal? Where do we go? And Jesus says, you know what? Here's the thing. There will come a time. And of course, it's after this. It's after He rides. There will come a time when we won't be worshiping in Jerusalem. We won't be worshiping on any mountain. Because the temple of the Lord, the temple of God, is going to be within every heart. Every heart that welcomes Him. Every heart is Jerusalem. We got to let Him ride in, don't we? We got to let Him ride into our hearts and be our King. Lay down the coats for Him. Lay down the leaves for Him. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord into every single one of our hearts and changes us. Changes us. Heavenly Father, today is such an important day, God. Every Sunday we come in here, Lord, and we celebrate You. We celebrate You. We celebrate all that You have done in our lives. We celebrate. We say, blessed is He who comes. But Lord, on this day and in this week, we just ask, oh God, that You really make us conscious, really make us super aware of the price You paid to prove Your love, prove Your power. Prove to us, oh God, that You are a God of second chances. That in Your world, oh God, there are no missed opportunities, only new creations. And that we can be part of that new future, that glorious future, when we ride along with You. Lord, we praise You today, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So...